Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will wrap up his teaching series on how to know God with You Need a Savior. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
I appreciate it, Bob. We have been studying how to know God, and we have seen that getting to know God is our greatest need. And the way to enter into relationship with God and to please God is through faith. What we need regarding faith is to believe the record God gave of His Son. We have studied the glorious reality that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, and that He is the Son of God, or God in human form. Yet to truly lay hold of all that God has for mankind in the Christ, there is one thing we all need. We need a Savior. So this week I'm going to talk about you need a Savior. And the fact is that you have a need. It is said that the basic needs of mankind are food, clothing, and shelter. And it's true, we need those things to live. And yet there is one great need that is left out of this. And that is that mankind needs a Savior. Now our minds constantly bear witness of this to us. We cannot have peace of mind. We cannot have quietness of spirit. We can find no rest without a relationship with our Creator by means of God's provided Savior. And the fact is that what we see on every hand, the dissatisfaction, the restlessness, the ceaseless activity, and the search for pleasure that most people are constantly engaged in. Well, these things are explained by this need for a Savior. The voice of conscience cries out to Adam's race. And yet we try to drown out the voice of conscience by listening to 1,000 other voices. We try to get so busy with other things that thoughts of God must be crowded out of our minds. And so we seek by constant activity to achieve the condition the psalmist describes in Psalm 10:4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. And we can see that in people that they try to drown God out of their thoughts. I've seen a book recently, Live 1,000 Years, it's called. And the basic premise of the book, I didn't read it, I admit, but it seems like the basic premise of the book is basically that you do many, many things in your life. You're constantly busy, you're constantly trying different things. You're dipping your feet into the water of this activity and that activity and going different places. And that way you can live 1,000 years in your own short lifetime. Well, that's all about trying to drown out thoughts of God and trying to still the voice of conscience about your own need by constant activity. But the fact is that no matter how busy you keep yourself, you can't change the reality. And that is that need of a Savior is your greatest and your most important need. Now you might ask, why do I need a Savior? Well, there are many reasons you need a Savior, but the chief one is your standing in the sight of God. Romans 3:22 and 23 speak of the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. It says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now we could better understand this statement, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," if we understand that to fall short means to lack. And the glory of God is connected with esteem. See, if you esteem a person as being honest and trustworthy, and then someone asks you about that person, what about this person? Can I trust this person? Is this person honest? And you say yes, you testify your opinion of that person, the esteem you have of that person, that they are honest and trustworthy. Well, then you are giving that person the glory that they have in your mind, in your estimation. So glory is esteem. And what this verse is telling us is that all have sinned and lack the esteem of God. Now, the fact is that we may be highly esteemed by other human beings. It could be that people in general esteem you as a good father, a good member of your community, a good employee, a good churchman, and yet you still lack the esteem of God. It could be your children esteem you as a good mother. Your husband esteems you as a good wife. Your friends esteem you as a good person. But still, you have done nothing to gain the esteem of God. And ultimately, it doesn't matter how others esteem you if you lack the esteem of God. Well, you might say then, how do I gain the esteem of God? And the answer to that is clear. Your neglect of the God-appointed Savior must cease. The fact is that God has provided a Savior. And again, you lack the esteem of God because you are a sinner. Well, you need to become a sinner with a Savior, and to no longer be a sinner without a Savior. Once you become a sinner with a Savior, then God will esteem you as a believer, and you will no longer lack his esteem. So it is crucial. You need to deal with God regarding your lack of a Savior. Another reason that you need a Savior is that death is working in you, and you are dying. And the reality is that apart from divine intervention, death will work itself out in you, and then your life will be over. The reality is that few want to face this fact, but it is an inexorable fact regardless. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." And the reality is that the death rate is still one apiece. Now, I know that people desperately try to push this off and think that death is a long way out. I had one coworker, kind of a friend of mine, he was nearing retirement. And he was retiring rather late for these days, about 66 years old. And he said to me, "I figure that you would go to school for about a third of your life." He was a PhD. "You go to school for about a third of your life, then you work for about a third of your life, and then for about a third of your life, you're retired. So I have about that third of my life left, I'm going to enjoy being retired." I thought, wait a minute, you're 66, you're figuring you're going to live to 100 years old, and you have a third of your life left? Well, very few people live to 100 years old. And the fact is that a good number of people die in their late 60s. You aren't guaranteed you'll live past 67. Not to mention that you'll live to be 100. And yet it was clear this man was trying to push off death. Say, "Oh, it's still a long way out there. I have a third of my life left." Here he's 66 years old. No, the fact is that we don't know when we're going to die. It could be that you have 20 years, 3 months, 5 days, and 6 hours left of your life. You don't realize that. So to you, You don't know when you're going to die, so it stretches out in front of you. But if you knew you had exactly that much time left, how would that affect your life? And the fact is that even though you don't know when your life is going to end, you are using up a little bit of your life every day. And you are one day closer to death every day that passes. And you need a Savior to rescue you from this fact, that you are moving toward death a little bit every day. Now, senior citizens, like my retiring friend, are getting very close to this inevitable fact. Yet people will say, what senior citizens need is they need to keep busy. They need to do things. They need to do activities. Senior citizens need a hobby. Well, senior citizens need more than that. If you're a senior citizen, you need more than a hobby. You need a Savior. Do you think, do you imagine that you have the power to turn the hourglass of your life over and live your life over again? You do not have that power. Your life is running out. And so you need a Savior. And you need a Savior who is the author and giver of life. To have such a Savior is to have the guarantee of another life after this one. To lack such a Savior is to know that your life is rapidly running out. And how foolish our race really is, the human race. What are we but children? We live a very short lifespan after all. We are running around with a sword over our heads, ready to fall at any time. And yet we run around imagining ourselves to be gods. How foolish that is. And death is what brings an end to all such vain thoughts. And truly, you need a Savior. Now, hopefully I've impressed upon you your need of a Savior. Well, now you need to discover the Savior that you need. Who is the Savior that you need? Well, the Savior you need is the one that God has provided. And no other Savior will do. To even consider another Savior than the one God provided would be to slander God's provision. And you shouldn't do it. The Virgin Mary spoke in Luke 1:47 and said, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." The Virgin Mary realized that God was her Savior. And the same should be true of us. Our Savior should be no less than God himself. Ethan in Psalm 89 and verse 26 says, "And he shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." And we need to be able to say the same thing. And we have truly come to maturity when we can say, "My Savior is my God, and my God is my Savior." Now, through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 43:11, the Lord said, "I, even I, am the Lord." That is Jehovah. "And besides me, there is no Savior." So through Isaiah, Jehovah declared himself to be the Savior and the only Savior. Again, in Isaiah 45, verses 21 and 22, he said, "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, Jehovah? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." So Jehovah declared himself to be the only God and to be the only Savior, and said positively, "There is none else." Well, in view of these statements, we can conclude that our Savior needs to be no one less than the mighty God, the creator of everything, Jehovah, who is seen on every page of the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, comes to us as the Lord Jesus Christ. As I showed you earlier in this series when I talked about Jesus is Jehovah. So our God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to be our Savior. Moreover, the Savior we need must be the Savior of sinners. In Luke 5:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now we go to physicians because we are sick. And we should run to the Savior because we are sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners such as we are. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now this verse is not telling us of two different beings, God and our Savior Jesus Christ. No, these two titles are appositional. And this could read, "Our great God, even our Savior Jesus Christ." Because the two are the same. And as we saw in Isaiah, if Jesus Christ is not the great God, and if Jesus Christ is not Jehovah, then he cannot be our Savior. Since long before this, Jehovah declared there is no Savior but himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God, as Paul says here. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And the Savior you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born to be the Savior. Luke 2:11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Moreover, even before his birth, God sent Jesus Christ for this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." So he was born to be the Savior, he was sent to be the Savior, and he is called the Savior. In Titus 1:3 through 4. "But as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and, or even, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." So our Savior is our God, and our God is our Savior, and our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are not putting our trust in a peasant who lived in Israel 2,000 years ago. Why not? Well, because the record God gave of him does not begin in the manger in Bethlehem. Hebrews 5:7 speaks of the days of his flesh. And that was what began in Bethlehem. But the record God gives of him begins long before the days of his flesh, with his first recorded act in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And when we compare this with John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Well, we can see that the Creator of all is called the Word. And then this Word, this Creator, is the one who was made flesh and dwelt among us for 33 years, in John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And earlier in this series, you saw that phrase, "only begotten," in Greek, monogenes, means unique, the unique one of the Father, not begotten. But here we see that our Creator is the one who was made flesh and became our Savior. And the Creator, when He became our Savior, Jesus Christ, He is capable of being the Savior. He is all sufficient to be the Savior. And He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through Him. Now, God's plan of salvation for the sinner is simple. And His word regarding His plan of salvation for the sinner is infallible. Which means that a sinner can be saved by Jesus Christ. And a believer in the record God gave of His Son can know that he is saved. If we will turn from our own good works to trust in the sufficient work and merit of Christ, we should have knowledge and assurance that we are saved. You see, our salvation is not dependent upon us. The salvation of a sinner is not dependent upon the sinner. If it was, none of us could be saved. We'd all fall short because we all lack the esteem of God. But see, our salvation depends upon the sufficiency of the Savior. And our Savior is our Creator. Our Savior is the mighty God, and so He is sufficient to save. So if we trust Him as the Savior, we must either believe that He is sufficient for the job, or we must believe that He is not. So salvation depends on the Savior, not on the one who is being saved. Since God's word shows you that you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ has been shown to you to be the Savior you need, your next step is to make Him your personal Savior. If your mind has been exercised and your heart stirred by your need of a Savior, and by the realization that Jesus Christ is the Savior you need, we'll recognize that this is the work of God's Holy Spirit in your life. And this matter is one that is very dear to the heart of God. So why not right now deliberately decide that you will believe in God? That from this time forth, you will be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let this be your first confession of faith, and the most important one. What confession is that? Well, the one that you make to God and to Him alone. Now, public declarations can and should come later. You should be able to make a public declaration of your faith. But the fact is that your original confession of faith should be your personal dealing with God alone, with no other human being to come in between. Now, let me suggest in preparing for such a confession to God that you read through the Gospel of John and pay close attention to every occurrence of the word believe. And you will find it there, just as it is in this message, that all sinners who need a Savior can find that Jesus Christ is the Savior that they need. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the undeniable truth of Scripture. He can and He will fulfill all the promises regarding the Christ in the Bible. And He can and He will save all who believe in His name. So the question for all of us is clear. Do we believe in this Savior? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we make Him our personal Savior? Are we willing to make this confession to God, between us and God, where He knows the truth, no dishonesty, no insincerity can come in? Are we willing to confess to God that we receive and believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior? Well, that's a question we all need to answer, and that's a question you need to answer between you and God.
You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Acknowledging this truth is the first step in becoming a believer. Knowing the Savior is knowing that you are saved, Everyone here at the Word of Truth Ministry and Knowing God in the Word radio program hope that you have received the Savior of the Bible, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on You Need a Savior. On our next program, I will interview Nathan. We will be discussing the series he just taught on how to know God. Nathan will also be letting us know what he is going to teach next. Thank you for joining us today. We trust that you are learning that the more you study God's Word, the more you can know God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.